All right, if you would take your Bibles and go to John chapter 10, verse 10, a familiar scripture, as some of these will be. John chapter 10, verse 10. This is entitled, "What Kind of Life Do You Want?" Because it just happens by accident, right? Life is just totally by accident. Justin got in his car a couple of days ago and just started driving and accidentally ended up here. No, I don't think so. There was planning behind it. There was thought behind it. There was timing behind it. There was preparation behind it. And in John 10:10, we realize the thief comes not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus Christ said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Now, that's kind of a really open-ended statement there. Life, a more abundant life, is available. But you're not going to get it by osmosis. Jump to John 5. John 5, 24. We're going to move around the Bible a little bit. John 5, 24. We read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," I being Jesus again, saying, "Look, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." When you believe regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, then you receive everlasting life. But that's future. You know, if all you do is think about, wouldn't it be great if Christ comes back because my life is so miserable? You're missing out on the more abundant life. You're missing out on what's available today. You know, it was funny. We got snow on Pike's Peak, a common occurrence. But some people have moved here recently, and they had to stop and take pictures of it. Oh, look at this! Snow! On the way to the airport the other morning, it was snowing. Kelly probably didn't care much for that, but the kids loved it. Look, snow! Because it doesn't snow in Georgia. So it was just one of those things where little things in life, are we starting to take them too much for granted? Like children? Or are we just kind of like putting in our time until Christ comes back and we get everlasting life? Now, as you get older sometimes, it seems that way. Okay, that's it. I'm done. I need a hot tub or something. But the point is that the everlasting life is available through what Christ accomplished for us when we believe on him who leads us to the Father. But that's not the life we want to look at. That's not the life we live. We have that eventually. You know, it's not like in the movies, as soon as you believe, you disappear. You know, that would be nice, but that's not the way it is. We have to do things for him because there's other people that need to know and want to know. But one of the things that says shall not come into condemnation, look at Romans 8. It's further clarified very specifically in Romans. So, if this is one of the things that's holding you back, stop it. Romans 8. To enjoy the more than abundant life, a spiritual life with Jesus Christ as Lord, with the ability to operate nine manifestations and some of these other things we're going to look at, and some of these other things that are available for life today. 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus." The rest of the verse is in the Greek text. No condemnation. It's specifically to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who get born again, no condemnation. It's that simple. It's no condemnation. But why are you condemning yourself? Why are you letting somebody else condemn you? Why are you saying, "Oh, I'm inferior, I can't do this, I can't do that"? Welcome to life. You know, there's always somebody bigger, faster, bigger, faster, quicker, smarter, you know, can do everything, you know. Your young daughter can now spike the ball and just really stick it to the opposing team. Some of us wish we had some height. It's just the way it is. So when it comes to life, one of the first things is get over it. No condemnation. But then verse 4 tells us, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And this is a vital key to the more abundant life, walking by the Spirit. Walking not by the five senses, not by, if I can see it, if I can smell it, if I can taste it, that tastes more than that, walking by the Spirit. Walking by God's input, two different ways. His input from the written word, specific input in situations when you're dealing with wacko patients and things like that, which I'm sure you've never, comes up every now and then.
Every now and then.
Right. Right. Every hour on the hour. Go to 3 John. So the key there, a very important key, what we're after is what kind of life do you want to live? Do you want to be miserable? Just keep comparing yourself or keep trying to figure yourself out. Identifying with the Christ in you. Then you'll have the ability to realize it's great we're all different. It would be terrible if we were all part of the Communist Party and we all had to do the same thing all the time. You know, we all dressed alike and spoke alike and did, you know. No. The individual. God is an individual God. God cares about us individually. And it's much more fun being different than if everybody's the same. Here in 3 John, we'll start verse 1. The elder, being John, unto the well-beloved Gaius. So, John is addressing the saint named Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So, who is truth? What is truth? According to the Bible, God is truth. The Word is truth. Jesus is truth. So he loves it, Gaius, with that kind of truth behind it. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. We'll come back to that. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Are we starting to see a little context here? Truth, truth, truth. According to the written word and according to specific situations. Now, the verse 2, let me read you a translation from the Greek, from the Working Translation. Beloved, I pray. The word wish there is the word eukamai, which, I mean, we get prosukamai is one of the words for prayer. Eukamai is another one. And it's translated wish in a few different places. One of the examples is when the Apostle Paul, they were in the shipwreck, and the boat had gone ajar, and they wished for the day. If you've ever been in the middle of the night and you just can't wait for it to get morning, that's what they were doing. They wished, they prayed, they were expecting it. And there wasn't anything they can do about it yet. But here, I wish, I pray, that you may be successful and healthy in all matters, even as your soul is successful. I thought that was a great translation, because the word prosper is success. And what he's pointing out here is, Gaius, you have been, even as your soul prospers, even as your soul has been successful. And that is a big key. You know, he was successful. He was happy in all matters. You know, material needs, health, peace of mind, joy in the fellowship. All these things are things that have come up, or will come up in this chapter. He's been successful. And then he's saying, I want you to be successful in this other matter, the spiritual matter, dealing with the rest of this entire book, all, you know, 14 verses of it. But if you go to verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. So we've got a schism, we've got a problem. Somebody who set himself up as the Pope, he would love to have the preeminence. He didn't want Paul to be around, or John to be around here. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he did, prating against us with malicious words. Of course, nobody ever does stuff like that today. Prating against us, maliciously talking about you, words that aren't true. And not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brother and forbids them that would and cast them out of the church. We want that Justin Honey guy around here. If he comes to your house, we're throwing you out of the church. That's what they're saying here. All right, so basically, John is telling Gaius, you're being successful in many things in life. Peace, joy, material needs, health. Now you've got a spiritual matter you've got to deal with, and I'm praying that you're successful in that too. That's what's going on here in this situation. Well, all of us deal with things all the time because Christ hasn't come back and the world isn't the bestest place around. So we need to continue to pray for each other in different situations because it's not the best, you know, because there's a God of this world, the thief that we talked about in John 10:10. So here's a great situation. God was telling John, write this, and John is saying, look, I want you to walk in truth. I love it that, you know, people talk about you because you're on the truth and that you want the truth. And again, that ties off of what we just read in Romans, walking by the Spirit. So if we want a more abundant life, these are some of the keys that it's going to take to help us achieve the more abundant life. Julie will not play in the NBA. She doesn't have a good enough crossover dribble. So the point is that, you know, somewhere along your way, you get to the point where you realize you're not good enough. The path is too, it's just not the path I'm supposed to take. So you move on into a different path. Mm-hmm. Go to Ephesians 3. So, but what's the best for your life? Well, you got everlasting life, but what's the best for you? Well, you start moving. I mean, a few years ago, Justin, you probably didn't think Colorado Springs was where you're going to be at this moment. But as you continue to walk, the doors open, the paths open, the car came this way with you in it.
Yep.
And we expect you to be very blessed here. And also to, so you can share all kinds of malicious words about us. No. The other side of it. Be a wonderful person, believer, help. And we're welcoming you with coffee mugs and everything. So, Ephesians 3:20, familiar scripture. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's where most people stop at that. That's part of the problem. I can ask and think all kinds of things, but I don't ever get off my couch. Well, then how are you going to get the more abundant life? How are you going to really do something? How can you walk by the Spirit? How can you walk in love? How can you know the truth? Now, the rest of the verse is what ties it all in. As you ask God, as you think about your future and things that are coming up, it's according, God is able to work exceeding abundantly according to the power that possesses us and controls us. According to the power that works in us. That's dunamis. It's God's inherent power is in us. But you've got to put the power into action by walking by the Spirit, by learning the truth, by doing different things, so that you can live the more abundant life. It doesn't just, you know, there's no automatic, you're not automatically immune from this world as soon as you get born again. In fact, it kind of takes up a couple notch. The more you learn, the more fun it gets, which is what most people want. We don't want to stay in the matrix. We want to get out because we know and learn different things. So, again, exceeding abundantly above, all we ask or think is available, but it's according to the power, God's power, born within us at the time of the new birth that works in us. So, it's our operating operation of the power. So, we go to 1 Corinthians 12 to see what are the actual true operations of the Spirit, and then we can understand that there's a lot of false things being credited to the true God. You know, being able to communicate with the dead and speak for the dead and things like that. That's not accurate according to the Bible. So, what is the power that works in us? What is walking by the Spirit? What is utilizing our spiritual abilities? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation, the evidence of the Spirit, is given to every individual for profit. God gave us the Spirit to help ourselves, and to help with all, to help the body. For to one, not one person, but one of the prophets. You go back to the nearest associated noun. For to one of the prophets, that we can manifest by utilizing the Spirit, by utilizing the power, the dunamis, one of those prophets is given by the Spirit, word of wisdom. Another prophet would be word of knowledge, but it's the same Spirit. One gift, Holy Spirit. To another, faith or believing, but it's the same Spirit. To another prophet, gifts of healing, same Spirit. Another prophet is working of miracles. Another prophecy, another discerning of spirits. to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all of those spiritual abilities and proofs and prophets, manifestations, evidences of the Spirit, all of them work that one and self-same Spirit. It's so important that God said it three times here. One Spirit, self-Spirit, same Spirit. Everybody's got the same gift of Holy Spirit. It's not a different spirit, man or woman. Not a different spirit, old and young. When you hit a certain age, as soon as you hit 30, all of a sudden, you know, the spirit changes. Doesn't work that way. Same spirit. You got it with you all your life. It's learning how to utilize it properly to live the more abundant life. To do what God wants you to do. Dividing to every man severally as the individual wills. Again, there's the key. Are you checking in with God? What is it that God needs you to do as you operate the spirit? You desire to do it. You know, God's there. God's got information for you. He'll even help you on tests. Maybe. God's there to help. That's the point. It doesn't mean, well, I'll just let God answer the test for me. I won't study. No, no, no. They work together. So there's too many people that believe that kind of stuff. I don't have to read the word. God will just tell me what I need to know. Then why did he give us a 2,000-page book? Titus. And that's a big key. Timothy, Titus, chapter 1. That's a big key, this book here, as we'll see here in Titus. So, Titus 1, Timothy Titus 1:9. The goal is the more abundant life, living a life that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father, doing the work that God wants us to do. Titus 1:9, and he's given us the Spirit. He's given us opportunities to walk by that Spirit. Titus 1:9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers or contradictors. So, learning the word is faithful, learning the word, holding fast to the word, making sure it's sound doctrine, it's right believing. Then you can exhort and convince those who don't know the word. You can show them what the word says. Those who are contradicting or utilizing the word for their own benefit, the gainsayers, the contradictors that are doing it for them. So we hold fast the word of God. That's what John was talking about with the truth. Great to hear that you stand on the truth, that you live in the truth. It's joyful to get people together on the truth. Here it is again, holding fast. So those who are not truthful can change, can learn and change if they'd like. 1 Thessalonians 4, just go back about 5, 6, 7 pages. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. And we see another key ingredient to the more abundant life. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, but ye yourselves have taught of God to love one another. Right? It's the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. No, no, wrong one. Do unto others. And the point is exactly what it's saying is, it's our new spiritual nature is a love nature. That's what's born within us. We need to just manifest it out. It won't happen, especially if you're driving, unless you put it on. But you are taught by God to love one another. It's via the Spirit. But these people, Thessalonians, they were doing a wonderful job with it. We need to continue to do that. Look at 5:23, because it's available. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's that everlasting life when Christ comes back. But until then, we have the God of peace with us. So, as Gaius was peaceful, we can be peaceful. And our whole body, spirit, soul, body, everything, we can just be at peace. Knowing Christ is coming back, knowing that the problems we face and the mistakes we make, we don't have to condemn ourselves. We can be thankful that we don't have to, that Christ accomplished it, and keep moving, because we need all of that. But it's our complete being. Complete being. And the God of peace is there for, so we can be peaceful. Sanctify you entirely. sanctify you wholly, completely. So if you're unpeaceful, it's your own fault. Just according to the word, if you're in condemnation, it's your own fault. Go to Hebrews 4. So again, everything's available for us to live a more abundant life, but you got to do something about it. Hebrews 4, again, tells us the direction of where we can get daily help via the Spirit, but also the Word of God, because the Word of God can change your life, and it does. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living. This is a live, living Word. And the Word of God is very powerful. And it's sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of life and immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner, a judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature, any creation that is not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and exposed unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So God has given us a word that gets right to the situation. You want to know where somebody's at? Start speaking the word to them. It'll either captivate them or chase them away. Go right to the word of God because it says how powerful it is and how sharp it is. And everything is naked and exposed unto God. God knows what's going on anyway, so you might as well talk to him about it. Can't hide from God. I mean, okay, if you think Baltimore, Detroit, or Cleveland, maybe. But no. No, God is with us. God is everywhere. And if you're in those places, God, you need God more than ever. Exactly. All right, go to James. Chapter 1 of James. So, again, you are who you are by how much you believe God's word and how much you act on God's word. What direction do you want to go with your life? Because you have control over it. It's not all accidental. You've got some control in this life, you know? You can wake up one day in Arkansas and go, that's it, I've had it, I'm leaving. I'm heading to the mountains.
Amen.
Pike's Peak or bust. That's it. James 1, 21. One of the great verses of all time. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. What? I got to put that superfluity of naughtiness away. Exactly. It's a great line. Basically, it just basically means, you know, I need my reading glasses. I wrote, just put away all kinds of things that, wickedness. Abominableness. Wickedness.
Got rank growth of wickedness.
There you go. That's a good one.
Filthiness and rampant wickedness.
That's it. Filthiness and rampant. That's it. That's exactly what this is trying to say.
One says overflow of wickedness.
Overflow? This world is overflowing with wickedness? Okay. I'm recording or I'd say something. Yes, the world is full of that. So what do? We join in. No. That's not if you want the more abundant life. Again, you lay apart. You leave it behind. You just don't go there. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. All the filth, all the wickedness, all the trash. And instead, with your time, receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Well, again, we're dealing with our daily walk. And if we want to enjoy our walk, our lives, then we receive God's word with meekness. After all, it's living. It's powerful. It gets to the meat of the problems. It gives us peace, many other things. So maybe that would be a better thing to dwell on. And then verse 22 says, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. Don't you love people like that always talk about everything and never do anything? In one of the 10 things on how to destroy an organization. That's one of the things. Volunteer for everything, but do nothing. Now, be a doer of the word. If you know that much of the word, do that much of the word. If you know more, do it. That's it. It's really that simple. Look at James 5:20. Last verse of the book. Let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know, it is so great. You hear of different healings, physical healings and all that, but there's a great illustration of 10 lepers where only one of them came back and got full wholeness. The other ones got healed, but one got something greater. And this is what it's talking about here. Understand this, that anybody who converts a sinner, somebody not born again, somebody who works in mental hospitals, when you convert the sinner and you change, you help teach them the word and they change from the error of their way, shall save a soul from death. They go from eternal death to eternal life, that everlasting life we started with, and shall hide a multitude of sins. It's covered. It's covered. It's gone. And that is just a tremendous, tremendous thing here for us to continue to remember. Let's look at Romans 10:9 again to show how to convert a sinner and see how easy it is. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to have a good report card. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, get 1,400 on your SAT scores. It doesn't mean you have to do, anything. God had to keep it simple because we're simple. And this Bible's been around a couple thousand years, and there was a time in the world where not many people could read, and it had to be simple for the Goths and the Visigoths and the Celts and the, you know, all the Germanic tribes in Europe and all of that. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, delivered. Saved, delivered from what? The wrath to come. You got everlasting life. But what about quality of life now? That's what's available, and that's why the rest of the book was here. It's very simple. Believe regarding Jesus Christ, making him Lord. Again, John 3:16. Let's go there. The verse that you see at all football games. Somebody holding a sign up. Maybe they should hold Romans 10:9 up. John 3:16. It's got to be simple, and it is, because Christ paid for everybody, so everybody can have access to eternal life and to the Father. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, out of love, God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, specifically making him Lord from Romans, believing that God raised him from the dead, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that's why there's no condemnation. But that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned. But he that believes not is condemned already, because he has no life. He has no spirit. He has no access to God, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Jesus Christ was that light. But men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. So, go to John 4. John 4:24. We read, God is spirit. They that worship God must worship him then in spirit and in truth, or truthfully via the spirit with the figure of speech and deities. So God wants people to worship him by the spirit, which is speaking in tongues. That's available. A lot of great and tremendous things are available. 2 Corinthians 5. So, what kind of life do you want? What kind of life are you making for yourself and for those around you? Well, what we saw in the end of James is covered here in 2 Corinthians again for us, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, once a person gets born again, you are a new creation. The old things of your former life are passed away. And behold, all is in the text. Behold, there are things that have become new. There are new things now available for you, because it's a new covenant, because of Christ's accomplishments. All the old things are gone. Forget about the condemnation. Forget about the past. Forget about many of the works of the flesh and all of that. It's time to utilize the Spirit, walk for God, you have a whole bunch of new things that are available for you. When you went from 8th grade to 9th grade, you're in a whole new school. All kinds of new things are available now for you. So we take advantage of them. But you have to do it. All right. And all things are of God. All the new things come from the God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and then has given to us or given in us the ministry of reconciliation, knowing that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not accounting their trespasses unto them, but has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have been given this opportunity to do what James 5 talked about, saving a soul from eternal death. Now then, you're an ambassador. You've been commissioned for Christ. As God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness or the justness of God in him. So, 6:1, we then can work together with him. Nobody's an island. It's one body. Work together. We beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. If you do nothing with it, if you just all of a sudden be the most surprised person when the trumpet sounds, that you got born again, didn't even realize it. Well, what kind of a life did you have? Jeez, what are you missing out on? Work together within the body, working together on the greatness of God's word, with the grace of God, helping others so they too can have eternal life. We close in Ephesians 6. So, what kind of life do you want? You really have a say in that, in the direction you go. Many of you are going to school, are thinking about going to school, are completing further education. Or you can just not go. It's up to you. You can make a decision. You could go there and sleep. Or you can go there and really learn something so it can add to your soul life. We close with Ephesians 6:18. The key to continuing to walk by the Spirit, the key to operating the Spirit, the key to walking in truth is to stay in touch with God. We do that by prayer. Praying always. That's what prayer is, just talking to God. And you know what God will do? Communicate back to you. He's alive. He's alert. He wants to hear from you. We heard that in manifestations. Praying always. Oh, that's that. Wait a minute. What do you mean praying always? That would be a good thing to do? Praying always. I can pray Sunday morning, once a week. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication. Supplication is a specific prayer request. Talking to God always. A lot of prayers, a lot of specific requests. And you can do that in the Spirit, or you can do it with your understanding. And watching thereunto with all perseverance. Is that part of your prayer life? Are you persevering in your prayer life? You watching unto all perseverance and specific requests for just yourself or for all saints? Are you praying for other people via the Spirit because you're not sure what they need? But you know, at 7 o'clock driving home in the morning after working a 12-hour shift, you can pray for somebody even though you don't know all the specific things that are needed. So, prayer, specific prayer requests, is how we stay in touch with God to get answers to live the more abundant life that's available today. So we have the truth of the word, truth of the Spirit. We can have peace. We can enjoy. We can help set the direction. God will work within us. And God will also say, wrong direction. You don't need to move to Tucson. You need to move to Colorado Springs or something like that. Don't move to the Northeast from Arkansas. Move here or leave here. Get out of here. Go to Chicago for a year or something. God will work. God will help. God's involved. Keep them there with prayer by talking with them. And God's going, got your back, got your front, got your side, got your tail. Gotcha. All right, so Father, thank you for your care, your love, and that we can continue to walk for you. Thank you, you gave us your word and your Spirit, and we can worship you and help others in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.